Şimdi biz Doktor Oktar Babuna'yı dinleyeceğiz. Aslında kendisini yakından hepiniz tanıyorsunuz ama ben bir kez daha CV'sinin üzerinden geçmek istiyorum. İsrail Kresent'te, Amerikan Kongresi'nde, Birleşmiş Milletler, İtalya Senatosu'nda ve buna benzer çok sayıda üniversite dahil 2000'in üzerinde konferans verdi. Birçok televizyon programları yaptı ve birçok televizyonda konularını hakim bir şekilde anlattı. Şimdi kendisini dinleyeceğiz. Buyurun efendim, söz sizin.
Right. Thank you very much, everybody. My best regards and also greetings and salam of Mr. Adnan Oktar, whom I represent. I send this salam specifically to all of you. Today, the topic we talk about is a very important topic, Darwinism. Because Darwinism claims life originated by chance, and this, also the selfish struggle in the nature, inevitably leads some pervert ideologies like Marxism, fascism and wild capitalism, which my colleague will talk about that in detail in a little bit. Karl Marx said, for the evolution theory, this is the basis in natural history for our view. And because of the Darwinism prevailed the world, more than 300 million people were killed in the 20th century. It pervades the entire world, but it is not based on any scientific evidences, which I will go into the detail. Now, Darwinism proposes the lie that human beings came into this world as the result of a series of chance events and that they are a species of animals. Darwinism furthermore claims that the only law in life is a selfish struggle for survival. The strong individuals survive by crushing the weak individuals, and there's a ruthless struggle in the nature. The weak ones get eliminated, and these ideas, of course, has been the foundation of the wars, violence, and the terrorism that we have seen in the world today. Now, Darwinism is application of the materialism onto the nature. Materialism absolutely rejects the existing anything beyond matter. However, science is not obliged to accept such a dogma. Science means exploring nature and driving conclusion from one's findings. And if these findings lead to conclusion that nature is created, science has to accept this. This is the duty of a true scientist, not defending impossible scenarios by defending outdated materialist dogmas of the 19th century. This is Charles Smith. Charles Smith is the founder of American Association for the Advancement of Atheism. This is exactly what he said. Evolution is atheism. Evolution is atheism. That is the reason why so many people defend, in spite of these evidences, falsify Darwinism to keep atheism alive. That is the reason why Darwinism is defended in spite of these scientific evidences which falsifies Darwinism. Now, Darwinism's false god, random mechanisms and chance. They say life emerged by chance events, natural selection and mutation. I will explain in detail what they mean, actually, what they mean. Of course, the other speakers also explained. And time and chance are capable of creating all this complex design and information in the living things. But this is nonsense. It is illogical and unscientific, of course. All life forms are work of an omnipotent mind who is Almighty God. We see mathematical perfection, symmetry, harmony, and organization wherever we look in the universe. We look at the galaxies with this harmony and organization, delicate balances. We look at the earth, animals, plants, atoms, cells, and also proteins. Wherever we look, we see beautiful mathematical perfection and omnipotent intelligence behind that. So there is such a delicate balance, and in the slightest deviation from these balances eliminates the entire system. That is a very powerful evidence of the existence of God. Now, the most powerful and fundamental evidence which falsifies, refutes Darwinism is the impossibility of the emergence of proteins by chance. You see, protein molecules are being synthesized over here. That requires an entire system, which is amino acids. They are synthesized by proteins, and they are added all together in the ribosome. Ribosome consists of proteins and RNA molecules. And the three-folding of proteins requires protein molecules. Basically, proteins can only be synthesized by other proteins. For one protein to exist, At least 100 different proteins must exist before. Is this enough? No. DNA must exist because right sequence of the amino acids is encoded in the DNA. For DNA exist, proteins must exist because DNA is synthesized by the proteins. Ribosome is needed, protein factory to synthesize proteins. Ribosome is also synthesized by proteins. Is this enough? No. Energy organelle is needed. A complete living cell must exist to produce the first protein on the earth. You know what that means? Creation by God. This is the most powerful evidence, the impossibility of proteins to emerge by chance, which refute and eliminates Darwinism completely. There is nothing to talk about because the first step is refuted by the science, means all other steps are refuted by scientific evidences. So the law of the biogenesis in nature, life comes only from life and that is of its kind. So life is only generated from life. Each living cell is replicated by another cell. Formed by the replication of another cell. Therefore, the first life on Earth must have originated from another life. And this is the manifestations of the name of God, Hai. Hai means the owner of life. Life can only start and continue by His will, and end by His will. Now, Neo-Darwinism, which is the mainstream argument today, claims there are two imaginary mechanisms of evolution. Natural selection and mutation. They say, this is a claim of Darwinism, these are two complementary factors. First, they say mutations help new traits to be developed, and the suitable ones are selected by natural selection. Therefore, they say the living things evolve. But this is very unscientific. First, you see, this is a slide about the natural selection, and mutations always cause asymmetry and pathology. I will go into the detail. Natural selection holds that the living things, which are more suited to the natural conditions of their habitat, will succeed and produce an offspring. Those unfit will vanish. Take this example over here. If the herd of deer is threatened by the predators, like jaguars, leopards, or lions, for example, of course, the ones which run faster will survive. That is true. However, no matter how long this process goes on, there will be only faster running deer. It will not transform deer to other species such as horses because natural selection cannot change DNA by any means. It cannot add new genetic information. It cannot generate new, brand new proteins, brand new organs. It only eliminates the weak or the sick individuals from the population. Natural selection is not capable of planning and foresight. So blind and unconscious mechanisms such as natural selection is impossible to have created all this complex design and information in the living things. What is natural nature? Nature is air, soil, and rocks. Nature itself is created. It cannot have any consciousness. The consciousness belongs to the omnipotent intelligence of God. So it is not a conscious mechanism, of course. That is the reason why Charles Darwin admitted in his book, he is the first one who talked about natural selection, but in his book he said, natural selection can do nothing until favorable variations chance to occur. And as the cause of these favorable variations, the scientist, the neo-Darwinist, has had to add mutations. What is mutations? Mutations are breaks or replacements in the complex structure, extremely complex structure of the DNA. Changing of the letters, insertions, new letters, or deletions of the letters out of the DNA, breaks or replacements, they only cause cancer, disability, or death. There is no beneficial mutation. Even though sometimes some scientists say there are silent mutations, even most of the silent mutations are understood, they are harmful to the organisms. Mutations are caused by during the replication mostly, replication of the DNA, the copying of the DNA, or by external harmful effects such as radiation or ultraviolet or chemical substances. And they are only damaging. They cause generate cancer, for example, pathology, asymmetry, disability, and death, because it is like hitting a computer with a hammer. Hitting the computer with a hammer never generates better computers. Everybody knows that. We don't need to be a scientist to understand that. The most famous biology textbook of the world, It's called Campbell and Rees. It is a standard textbook all over the world. In this textbook, although it defends evolution and Darwinism, in the mutation section it says, mutation to be beneficial, it says, Neil Campbell, like shooting the hood of the car. Of course, shooting of the car never makes the engine better, he says. But although he knows that mutations are not beneficial, in the following pages he still defends mutations as a beneficial mechanism and evolution. Then this is not scientist, of course. This is, can only be a pagan preacher because it's a pagan ideology. Darwinism, what Darwinism defends, is a pagan religion. So if we summarize why mutations are not an evolutionary mechanism, the direct effect of mutations is harmful. Mutations add no new information to an organism's DNA. All the examples given by some evolutionists, like sickle cell anemia, CCR5 mutations of the HIV, or the citric acid cycle in the E. coli experiments, they are all have damaging effects, decreasing the information in the genome. So there is no beneficial mutation. That's the reason why when Richard Dawkins was asked to give a single example of a beneficial mutation, he stopped the recording. He could not answer. According to Darwinism, there should be trillions of beneficial mutations. He was asked to give one example, and Richard Dawkins looked into the air for 17 seconds, and he stopped the recording. Now, the fossils. We have 600 million fossils today. Fossils are the remnants of the living things which lived in the past. For example, you see for instance, you see a frog fossil over here. These are the remnants, millions of years old. Sometimes the whole skeleton, sometimes piece of skull, sometimes even one single tooth. We have 600 million fossils today. But as you see over here, the fossils appear abruptly, and they never change in the history of life. 600 million fossils. It is asserted by the evolutionists, fossils, the living things, appeared over billions of years by successive random changes in the DNA. Successive random changes, they say, over billions of years. Of course, then evolutionists have to show us in the fossilized examples. They have to show us, if evolution would be a fact, of course, they have to show us half fish, half amphibian fossils. 90% fish, 10% amphibians, all the transitions, but pathological and asymmetrical through mutations, because through random mechanisms of mutations. They have to show us half amphibians, half reptiles. They have to show us transitional forms, reptiles to mammals. These are so-called transitional forms. If there are no transitional forms, of course, that means no evolution. Now, we have 600 million fossils today. We see from the fossil evidence, the fossils appear suddenly, abruptly, and complete, and never change during their tenure on the Earth. I want to explain you here over here. Evolutionists say the starfish evolved to fish over a 100 million year old period. So we look at the fossil evidence. We have to see scientific evidences of this. Do we have starfish fossils? Yes, we have millions of them. We have millions of starfish fossils. Do we have fish fossils? Yes, we have millions of them. So do we have these transitions, half fish, half starfish, 3% fish, 10% starfish, 95% fish, 5% starfish? No, we don't have even a single example of this. You know what that means? God did not create through evolution, but God did create through sudden creation with his commandment B. And millions of fossils verify this evidence, verify this fact. So we ask Charles Darwin, we look at his book, In the Origin of Species, what did he say about the transitional forms? Because he said evolution must have transitional forms if evolution is a fact. Let's see what he says. Darwin said, why if species have descended from other species by insensibly fine gradations? So he said species evolved to other species gradually and randomly through transitional forms. Do we not everywhere see innumerable transitional forms? We don't see transitional forms because there are no transitional forms, of course. Why is not all nature in confusion instead of the species being, as we see them, well-defined? But as by this theory, innumerable transitional forms must have existed, why do we not find them embedded in countless numbers in the crust of the Earth? Why then is not every geological formation and every stratum full of such intermediate links? Darwin said there are no transitional forms. Of course, no transitional forms means no evolution. He said, why don't we have them? Because we don't have any transition form. And he said, we look at every layer, single layer. So there were a lot of fossils, enough, more than enough fossils at his time. But he said, maybe in the future it will be found. Now we look at the today's. This is the one of the most prominent paleontologists. Paleontologist means fossil scientist. This is the most prominent paleontologist of the world, and he's a Darwinist. His name is Niles Eldridge. He's a curator of the American Natural History Museum. He said, the record jumps, the fossil record jumps, he said. Horses, elephants, birds, reptiles, nothing in between. It jumps. No transitional forms, that means. And all the evidence shows that the record is real. He said, the evidence shows that this record is real. The gaps we see, that means no transitional forms we see, reflect real events in life's history, not the artifact of a poor fossil record. So he admits that there are no transitional forms. Darwin said there are no transitional forms. Stephen Jay Gould said no transitional forms. Then we ask, of course, why do these people defend Darwinism, evolution, if there are no transitional forms? That is, at the very beginning I explained to you, as Charles Smith said, evolution is atheism. In spite of these scientific evidences, to keep atheism alive, they defend this Darwinism nonsense. So, facts from the paleontology. You see, that was the expectation of Darwinists. First, a single cell would come into being by chance, and then it diversified to all these organisms we have today. From a single cell, all the other species they were expecting, right? And this is the real fossil evidence. This line represents the Cambrian period, 540 million years ago, this line. Before that, like 600 million years ago, for example, there were only three different phylum. Phylum means animal groups according to the body plan, body structure. That is, for example, crustaceans or mollusks, nematodes, arthropods, that kind of structure according to the body plan. Only three of them. They are called cnidarians or poriferans, for example, sponges. Some sponges and worms and that kind of animals existed, three of them. 540 million years ago, at the Cambrian time, explosively, that's the reason why they call it Cambrian explosion, 50 different phyla come into existence with the commandment be of Allah. 50 different animal groups. And you know what happened with time? Only it decreased with time. Today we have 35 of them. But you see, all at once, boom, like this, with the creation of Allah, the creation of God, 50 different animal groups came into being, and then 35 different animal groups. At the very beginning, cyanobacteria, this is the first living cell on Earth. It is 3.8 billion years ago, the first cell on Earth came into existence all of a sudden, with sudden creation. That is a blue algae. It's called cyanobacteria. It produces oxygen through photosynthesis. It is an extremely complex living cell, and it comes into the existence all at once. That means sudden evolution, not creation through evolution, of course. And this is from the Cambrian period. Vertebrate and invertebrate animals. Of course, some vertebrate fish also was found at the end of 1990s in China. All these animal groups. And I want you to pay attention to this living being over here. It's called Anomalocaris. The fossil was found in 2012. And this one, and also I will explain you trilobite, they have an eye structure. It's called compound eye structure. Consists of many lenses. It is an extremely complex eye structure. And this is the first eye in the history of life as an organ. Before that, there are some light-sensitive cells exist in the three phyla that I showed you before. However, these are animals with the first eye on the history of Earth. And this first eye in the history of the Earth, Anomalocaris eye, I have an eye, as you have an eye, with two lenses, right? One lens over here, one lens over here. This living being, Anomalocaris, has 16,000 lenses in one eye, 16,000 lenses in the second eye, 32,000 lenses. This is called compound eye structure, and it appears all of a sudden. That means sudden creation. Or trilobite eye you see over here, it consists of 3,000 lenses that also appears all at once in the Cambrian period. We have that kind of eye structure in the modern insects today, in the bees, for example, in the flies, in the dragonfly. Extremely complex eye structure appears all of a sudden in the history of life. That means creation with the bee of God. Now, if you ask evolutionists, they sometimes give less than a dozen transitional forms. The most famous ones of this Archaeopteryx over here and the Tiktaalik rosea. They talk too much about it. There are some others, of course, but this Archaeopteryx is, although they said this is the ancestor of the bird, then it is understood this is a full bird, and this is admitted by the most prominent ornithologist. Ornithologist means scientist who researched the origin of flight. Alan Fedulci is one of the most famous of them, and he's also a Darwinist, defender of Darwinism. He said it's a full bird, perfect bird. The sternum bone was missing, and it was found in 1990s in Germany. And this is Tiktaalik rosea. It is, in 2004, was in the world media all over the place as a transitional form, they said, because it's half land, half fish. But it turned out it's a forgery, because they found a flat skull. It is a skull belongs to the crocodile. It's very similar to the alligator sinensis, which lives in China. Only skull was found, and then a body, fish body, was added to that to look like something between the land and the sea animals. It's a forgery. Why do these people do forgeries? Because there is a lack of evidence. There are no transitional forms. They generate fossils, fake fossils, which belong to either extinct species or forgeries, complete forgeries, to support Darwinism. Now, the famous myth of ancestor of the man. They are embarrassed to say the ancestor of man is an ape. What they do is they call it a common ancestor. If they find skulls, for example, which belongs to apes, extinct ape species, which we have more than 6,500 ape species lived throughout the history, only 120 of them alive. So they find some extinct ape species skulls, they put it in an order from the smaller to the larger one, and they add some vanished human races to that at the end, and they say this is the evolution of the humans. They never say human's ancestor is an ape, but a common ancestor, because they're embarrassed to say apes. But always they show us some extinct ape species. What they do is, if they find a piece of skull mostly, it can be a tooth, it can be a piece of skull, or complete skull, they go to their workshops. This is the most famous Darwinist artist of the world. He generates his imaginations all the time. His name is John Gersh. In his lab, he takes casts from the human beings. This is his friend, actually. He's taking a cast from him. Then he starts to play around with this cast. He generates something like this. At the end, this is completely imaginary, based on no scientific evidences. He generates something like this. A half ape, half human fossil lived in the past, and he's looking at you. He put some human eyes into at the end. But scientifically, soft tissues never leave traces on the skeleton. Although you have the entire skeleton, nose, lips, body hair, never leave traces on the bony parts. So if you would give the piece of skull, for example, to 100 different artists, they would generate 100 different illustrations. So it does not have any scientific value. You cannot estimate the soft tissues based on the skeleton or bony parts. Of course, fake reconstructions. They took an orangutan and on purpose put human eyes to make it look like half human, half orangutan, to looking at you. But this is all fake. Doesn't have any scientific value. So I want to give you some forgeries. There are many forgeries. This one is called Nebraska Man. Nebraska Man, they found a single tooth in Nebraska, United States, years and years ago. Single tooth. Based on this single tooth, they drew illustrations of his family, his cousins, his children, his father, his mother, based on a single tooth. You know what happened after that? They found the rest of the fossil. It turned out it belonged to a pig, and they apologized, of course. This is Haeckel, Ernst Haeckel. They drew, he did some illustrations based on embryo. He did similar drawings of human, monkey, and dog embryos to make it look like similar to each other. Then he admitted he did fraudulent drawings You know what he said? I'm not going to apologize, he said, because everybody else is doing fraudulent driving frauds or forgeries. That was his excuse. Or Piltdown Man, for example, for 40 years it was displayed in the British Museum. They found a skull. The skull belonged to the human. They added a ape, the jaw of an ape, and the teeth of a human being, and they generated this. For 40 years it was displayed in the British Museum. It turned out it's a forgery also. They apologized. So Darwinists always do that, because not having any evidence to support Darwinism, they generate these illustrations, forgeries, which does not have any scientific evidence. This is from the Discover magazine, actually. Is this the face of our past? They found in the Gran Dolina, in Spanish paleontologists find a skull. It is 800,000 years old, exactly like, look like 11-year-old child's skull. Looks like modern skull of living today. So every evidence falsifies Darwinism and supports the fact of creation by God. Now, another forgeries from our time. In 2009, they found a fossil, a lemur fossil. There are extinct species of some extinct species of lemurs also. And they presented this as the ancestor of man. BBC, New York Times, all the magazine, The Guardian, in Turkish media, everywhere it was presented as the ancestor of man. Mr. Adnan Oktar stated this is a lemur fossil. It is not the ancestor of man, only belongs to a lemur with a monkey with a tail. In few months, BBC apologized, primate fossil, not an ancestor. The New York Times fossil skeleton known as Ida is no ancestor of humans. This always happens. They present it first, it's like brainwashing, and everybody reads that, and at the end they apologize. So science is anti-Darwinist, anti-atheist. Science is the enemy of Darwinism. Science is against Darwinism. Science is anti-communist, anti-Marxist. Science destroys the Marxist, atheist, and Darwinist thought. All the religions teach us one fact, fact of creation. Creation by omnipotent intelligence, in other words, by Almighty God with His commandment be. This is what is taught with reason and the scientific evidences. Also in the all the divine faiths, we are being taught by the creation of God. So science is compatible with religion. Some people say, do not confuse, don't confuse religion with science. However, this is a misconception. What contradicts with science is evolution. Science is not, evolution is not science. It is defended against so many scientific evidences, against transitional forms, impossibility of the proteins appear by chance, and all this complexity and information in the living things falsifies the claims of Darwinism one by one. And also we don't have any transitional forms. Of course, could God create through evolution? Of course God could create through evolution. But then we would have all the transitions between the species. And I would be, and my friends and Mr. Adnan Oktar would be one of the most powerful defenders of the evolution, of course. But God did not create through evolution. So why should we defend the evolution then? Evolution is not science. The problem with the evolution is, evolution claims the emergence of life through random mechanisms, mutation and natural selection. If somebody, any kind of believer, goes to the side of evolution, it goes, the way is open all the way to the atheism to be an unbeliever. God created with sudden creation, not through evolution. That is what science shows us. In one verse in the Quran, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan, God says, everything is obedient to Him, the originator of the heavens and earth. When He decides on something, He just says to it, be, and it is. Allah, God, created with His commandment be. And we know this from the fossil evidence. We see the species appear all at once and suddenly in the history of life. For example, if you go back enough in time, we meet the first beagle couple or the first elephant couple, okay, 2 minutes. And we meet 3.8 billion years ago, the first living cell. And again, being alive is something completely different. This is the manifestation of the God's name, Hai. Only God can create and continue, and life can only start and continue by His will, and by His will. So science and religion is compatible, of course. What is not compatible with science is evolution. and we see mathematical perfection in the living things. For example, the golden ratio. We look at the plants, we look at the galaxies, we look at the DNA, we see golden ratio. Golden ratio is a number which was discovered in Fibonacci in the Middle Ages. It is 1.613. 1.613 is the golden ratio. Allah, God used that in the plants, this golden ratio, in the snails, for example, in the galaxies, in our DNA, in our face, in our teeth, the fingers. Wherever we look, we see this golden ratio. This is the mathematical perfection of God and the symmetry. God has no need for natural laws for creation. God is the creator of the natural laws. Sometimes the believers become under the influence of naturalism. The laws of the nature are created by God. God is not bound to the natural laws he created. He can change them anytime he wants to, so he wills. He creates particular creations. See, he uses some stages in the particular stages in the creation. For example, for a human being, he uses sperm and egg cell coming together, junction of them, for human being to exist, and embryological stages. Or, out of seed, he can create the plant. But this does not have anything with the evolution. It is through the same DNA, certain stages God uses for the creation. But evolution, the emergence of life by chance is impossible, and there is no mechanism of evolution. This is a very important issue also. And this is also, this fact is stated also in the Bible, in the Gospel. God says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Acts 4:24. Or again from the Gospel, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. Acts 17:24. Now, lastly, this is a very important issue actually. We live in our brains. Everything we perceive comes as electric signals to certain parts of our brain. There is no light outside, scientifically. The atoms, there is no light. It's complete darkness outside. The photons are coming from the electrons, emitted from by the electrons, entering the lens and hitting the retina, the nerve cells, and they generate electric signals. There is complete silence, complete darkness in our brain. These electric signals are interpreted as color, as vision, as hearing, as music, for example, as a smell of the strawberry or banana. Now, we are only direct contact with the perceptions in our mind. We have never heard, we have never tasted, we have never touched, we have never seen the real existing anything beyond these perceptions. You know what that means? There must be an inner eye which can see. There must be an inner ear, listens to this music, you hear? There must be an inner hand which can touch the hardness of the materials, the matter. The matter is not hard. There is no hardness of the matter. There is no color and vision outside, but there is an inner eye which can see that. Inevitably, that leads to the fact there must be a soul. The soul with God breathes to our bodies, the soul of the human beings, and these perceptions is created by God. This is the most powerful evidence which destroys materialism and Darwinism. The existence of the soul. That's the reason why Darwinists never talk about the existence of soul. If there is soul, there is God. So, of course, this fact leads to inevitable existence of God, eternal existence. In an infinite fraction of time, God created the past, the time now we live in, and the future, and finished it. So all the scientific evidences, again, shows us one important fact. God is the creator of everything, and God created through sudden creation, not through evolution. There is no evolutionary mechanism. Even a single protein to emerge by chance is impossible. DNA, impossible. They must coexist in a living cell to produce a single protein. And cyanobacteria is the first living cell appeared on Earth, complete living cell, which can do photosynthesis. and all the species appear abruptly perfectly formed 600 million fossils falsify the claims of Darwinism. That means 21st century will be a century without Darwinism, without pervert ideologies of fascism and communism. Love will prevail the world. We are living in a very specific times. The science, the war, the terrorism which we live in right now are the science of the specific times we are living in right now. In the very near future, in 5 to 10 years, the world will be a very different world. The love which was taken away from the love from the world will return back to the love, and we will have a very good times. We are very hopeful in that. Thank you.
Thank you.